CSI in the World, I'm John Batchelor. My colleague Tyler Rogaway, he keeps the war zone at the drive with his team, and we turn to an Israeli-made drone. It's called the Harop, H-A-R-O-P, recently identified as a weapon system used in the Nagorno-Karabakh conflict between Armenia, supported by Russia, and Azerbaijan, supported by Israel and Turkey. This drone is unique, however, to my understanding, because it's meant to frighten the battlefield, frighten it. Psychological weapon as well as packing a punch. How do they do it, Tyler? What does it look like?
Yeah, so the Harop is part of a lineage of Israeli drones that goes back decades. They really created the idea of a kamikaze drone or a suicide drone, or what some would call today a loitering munition. And what that means is these are not super expensive, high-end, exquisite machines. They're small, they're relatively inexpensive for what they do, but they're able to go out and fly relatively long distances and attack targets of interest that they find. So they not only reconnoiter the battlefield, they also strike. And it can be a one-way mission, or they can be retrieved and used again. So it's not necessarily use it and it's gone. And why is this so important is that you can project precision-guided capabilities far from your own forces. And for the soldier that is facing that on the ground, where there's no warning aside from all of a sudden the screaming loud sound of a drone, of a prop-propelled small drone diving on you like a Stuka dive bomber, that sound, the idea that it can come out of nowhere, it's a very effective military weapon on the battlefield, and this is how wars are going to be fought in the future. But it's also a psychological one.
Yes, the video is available on the site, and you'll get it the first time you hear it, because you don't know when it's going to strike. You're watching the site that's going to be hit. I believe it's a ground-to-air missile site that is not operational, but it's going to be hit with, what, 50 pounds of explosive? Is that what it carries, Tyler?
Yeah. I mean, there's different models, but, yeah, they carry enough to make a big explosion, you know, and anybody in the area of the target it's hitting is going to be affected by that.
And you hear the screaming coming in, and you freeze. You actually, even watching the video, you freeze because you don't know what's going to blow up.
Yeah, and that's the thing that we hear a lot about drone warfare, this low-end drone warfare, and the swarms of the future that are going to be overwhelming on the battlefield where we don't have defenses against it. And this underscores not just the capabilities and effectiveness of these weapons, it's a huge part in how that war ended up, the outcome of that war, but it also shows that this is going to be a major psychological weapon. And until we have really, really robust defenses against it, it's going to be something that's going to, you know, really be a trouble for troops on the battlefield. And even our CENTCOM commander over in the Middle East today, it's like the top thing that keeps them up at night is this threat from these low-end drones. And there's just not very robust defenses against it.
Turkey has F-16s, and they now, following the report at Tyler's site, they now are experimenting or producing air-to-air missiles. Is this something that changes the battlefield in the South Caucasus? You know that Turkey supported Azerbaijan.
Right, and they actually had F-16s in there. It's like actually on the ground. We broke that story. But, you know, the thing with Turkey right now is they're trying to become more independent as far as the technological demands of their military. This is especially true for the air power side. Your listeners might know about the F-35 flare-up, where we ended up not selling them aircraft that they helped build because of some of the political and diplomatic tensions that exist there, and the fact that they are doing business openly with Russia and specifically buying their air defense systems, which can compromise our latest technology. So all part of this, especially after that happened and Turkey never got an F-35 and the fallout from that, is Turkey is now trying to be much more self-sustaining and not have to rely on the U.S. so heavily for its weapons, its higher-end weapons, including its air-to-air missiles. And what they built basically is somewhat of a clone of an AIM-9X Sidewinder, which is America's latest version of the Sidewinder missile, close-range, heat-seeking missile. And when they've tested it successfully against a target drone. So this shows just how quickly they're advancing and trying to become more self-sustaining. So that way, if there was ever an embargo with the U.S. or whatever, there would be a certain amount of combat power they'd retain for a period of time without needing extra parts, missiles, munitions, other things to be able to actually prosecute a war.
Super Swarm Project is entitled Unmanned Integrated Battle Problem 21. What is this, Tyler?
This is the Navy's, something of a Navy capstone exercise that's going on right now off the coast of Southern California that takes manned ships, destroyers, littoral combat ships, and drone ships, as well as drones in the air, unmanned platforms on the sea, and tries to integrate them together and learn by what they can actually experiment with these operating all in a similar space. And really what this is, you're seeing the infant steps of moving to an unmanned battle force, much more than we that exists today. It's not something that's going to take away your destroyers or your cruisers or whatever, but it's going to be something that's going to highly augment them and allow us to cover large swaths of the battle space both above, on, and below the ocean. So that way we can, you know, provide targeting, and actually these weapons, these systems can actually engage a target as well. Some of them can. It's without this capability in the next 50 years, 20 years, but going out even farther, this is the future. This is where warfare is going. Our peer state adversaries are in the space now doing the same thing. So we need to move faster. And what this experiment is about is trying to get those baby steps behind us so we can start actually moving forward and procuring these systems and getting them out there to see what they can really do.
So they're integrating manned platforms, that would be Arleigh Burke class and aircraft, surveillance aircraft, with unmanned,
right,
undersea and on the sea and in the air, all three?
Right, all three. And, I mean, they have a drone out there that's flying above that's going to be up for days.
Ah.
Providing satellite relay capability and reconnaissance, not for hours. It's going to be multiple days flying above the fleet. There's tiny little boats that they're testing that can be used for reconnaissance. I mean, something the size of a child's Hot Wheels car,
right,
that they
right.
can drive around. It's small. So this is all ranges. This isn't just a big drone boat or something. This is all the full scale of unmanned technology.
It's entitled Unmanned Integrated Battle Problem 21. Tyler Rogaway, The War Zone at the Drive. This is CBSi and the World. I'm John Batchelor.